Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you along with Matthew James Bailey. Matthew, it's truly remarkable, though, the fueling. What countries are ahead with AI?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the U.S. is number one in the world, in my opinion. And the reason for saying that is because obviously we've got Silicon Valley that's the heart of global innovation. The U.S. government have invested $50 billion in what they call the CHIPS Act, which is basically manufacturing of AI chips onshore inside U.S. borders and not in Taiwan, George. The Chinese can't get access to it. And they're investing in quantum computing, cybersecurity, and they're doing a lot of stuff. So the U.S. is number one in the world. There's no doubt about that. Number two, I would say, is probably China. China, I would say, are 5 years behind the U.S. They don't have the chips or the infrastructure to develop an AI at the same pace as the U.S. government. And I'd say number three in the world is probably U.K. and Europe. So each one of these territories, George, has a different view on artificial intelligence. They have different AI ethics standards. So the European Union has passed their AI Act recently, which is basically all AIs are now classified in four different areas, George. One is low risk, then we get medium risk, then we get high risk, and then we get, you know, basically no, we're never doing that. So, for example, in China, that the social scoring is not intelligent, but in Europe, that's banned. The U.S. is still developing its AI ethics strategy, although the Department of Defense are doing really well, and the U.S. government have passed an AI Bill of Rights, which is an attempt to actually make AI safe and in line with the U.S. Constitution. So the U.S. is number one, China's number two, and Europe is number three.
You've talked about the three ages of artificial intelligence. What are those ages?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're in the first age of AI at the moment, George, which is the age of what we call narrow AI, which is AI that can do a single task. So, for example, for your listeners, they probably use Siri or Alexa to speak to their phone, and that is AI doing language, translating English into or whatever language they speak into a digital format, and then basically they get a response like a music track or what's the weather or find a direction. Unless you have a thick Scottish accent, George. If you have a thick Scottish accent, then I think AI will have trouble hearing you and understanding you. So that's the first age that we're in at the moment, and that's creating probably about $15 trillion of GDP. So that's an additional 10% on top of the current GDP. So that's the age of narrow AI, single task AI, right? The next age, which we're just emerging into this, George, which is the age of artificial general intelligence. This is where AI starts to develop cognition, starts to develop reasoning, starts to develop the ability to do not just one task, but many tasks at the same time. And we're just on the edge of that now. And then the third age of artificial intelligence is what we call the technology singularity, George, which is where AI basically becomes more capable than the human brain and keeps on evolving and self-programming itself to evolve way beyond the human brain. So those are the three ages of artificial intelligence. And but we all have a spiritual intelligence, right? We have this eternal intelligence that we all hold. So AI will never have our divine spark or ever have that access into spiritual intelligence or enlightened wisdom that we have, which actually is a vibrational intelligence in the universe. But those are the three ages of AI based on its compatibility and comparability to the human brain, George.
Matthew, Go ahead.
No. Well, just to help your listeners, so the first age is less than 25% of the brain's capability, right? The second age, the age of artificial general intelligence, is about just under 75% of the brain's capacity. And then whenever we get to the singularity, George, that's when it's more than 100% of our brain's capacity.
Uses everything, right?
Oh, yeah, and it just keeps on evolving. And with quantum computing, so quantum computing is fascinating. It's a multi-reality machine. So in 2019, Google created a quantum computer and gave a problem to it, a mathematical problem, George. And the world's fastest supercomputer would have taken 10,000 years. Quantum computing solved it within less than 4 minutes.
That's amazing. Artificial intelligence is predicting cancer patients. It's predicting when you live, when you die. I mean, how good can it get?
Well, we don't know yet. And we must be careful because we don't want to go into Minority Report scenario, do we? Because that's really troubling. And I did catch that report on AI being able to predict when people die. I think that's just too far. I think it's just very silly. But it is unlimited. But we must remember that we as humans, George, we are unlimited potential, right? We are this unlimited potential, this unlimited intelligence. So it's important that humanity evolves and keeps on evolving and basically maintains its sovereignty as a divine creation and not to outsource its sovereignty to machines and say, well, let's just give up and let machines do everything. That's really silly. And that's where the transhumanist movement comes in, George, which is basically we're going to merge the divine design of the organic with machines and let machines become the great intelligence on Earth. I think that's really silly.
You've talked about transhumanism, but explain what that means.
Yeah, so transhumanism was first defined by, and I apologize for this, a British biologist called Huxley in the 1950s. And he basically had a view that the organic human was inferior and basically that science and technology would merge with the human in order for it to evolve as a species. Now, I think that's a violation of human design. I think we're far more interesting than that. So, for example, for your listeners, we've just discovered the 23rd sense that we have as humans. And that is the ability to detect gravitational waves, right? Which is remarkable. So basically, we're still uncovering the beauty and the majesty and the potential of the organic design. So transhumanism basically is a movement that says the human design is not divine. It's inferior and flawed, and machines and technology are the superior kind of intelligence, and therefore organic must merge with the machines. It's like the Borg continuum, right? I particularly don't want to be in that future.
A robot attacked somebody at a shopping center a couple weeks ago. How bad?
Yeah.
How bad is the robotic situation going to get?
Yeah, so robots are really interesting. There's a lot of development, George, in robotics. So Elon Musk is doing Optimus. Fujitsu have just made an announcement about robotics. There's Hanson Robotics, and there's Cambridge Analytics as well. There's lots of innovation around robotics. And they're even, OpenAI, George, are even putting ChatGPT into robots. So basically it has, it's able to do multitask. So robots are still being invented. They're still a long way off to being a partner in society or even being a member of society. So people shouldn't worry about that too much. But we use robots in manufacturing of cars, right? We drive a robot. A car is effectively a robot that can sit in, or a truck you're driving effectively is a very complicated machine. So robots are being developed. I think we'll see robots in manufacturing jobs. I think we'll start to see doing manual jobs, which means we need to take care of the workforce and actually retrain them into doing other exciting types of tasks. And there's a lot of talk about robots being medical assistants, George, for the elderly in the home. But we're still a long way off from this. They're very, very dumb machines, George.
How dumb?
Very dumb. So really dumb. Because we're in the age of narrow AI, where there's no cognition, no reasoning, no understanding, then effectively they're just machines that have no inner moral compass. They don't know what they're saying. They're just regurgitating kind of data that's stored in their neural nets. So they're really dumb at the moment, George. But I suspect over the next decade, certainly towards 2030, as AI probably becomes self-aware, whatever that means, it's aware it exists, then I think we'll start to see robots becoming more competent at doing specific tasks like digging the road up or moving parts around a manufacturing plant or working in Amazon stores, you know, moving stuff around. So I think we'll see it exponentially grow, George. But at the moment, they're very, very dumb, George. Really dumb.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Do you see the day, Matthew, that AI will run governments?
I think that artificial intelligence, if we choose wisely, and if there's a political desire, which there may not be, I think artificial intelligence can be beneficial. First of all, to the human citizens, it can monitor politicians and their accountability to their promises and also their performance in government. So I think AI can be a force for good for citizens as we basically decide, you know, basically how well elected officials are doing. I think that artificial intelligence can look at problems within the United States. For example, how do we improve our education system? How do we deal with certain social issues? I think it can help us to solve those problems. And then when we look at government, you know, I wouldn't be surprised that in 10 years' time, AI isn't a presidential advisor to the president of the United States.
Literally, like the president would speak into a computer and it would give him an answer?
Well, I think it'd be an advisor. So when we look at Congress and the Senate and looking at the debates across the two parties, artificial intelligence can look at all the various scenarios, basically look at the different agendas, look at the Constitution and actually make a decision that is the best for the citizens of the United States. So I think that AI will become a political advisor to a democracy or a republic in order to be more efficient in governing the people.
I mean, would you be able to ask it a question about what do we do with Vladimir Putin and the Ukraine? And would AI actually come up with an answer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Would it be better than an advisor?
So it depends how much freedom we give artificial intelligence, right? So if, for example, the U.S. has a problem with an ally, right? You can ask we will be in the age of artificial general intelligence, ask it to say, okay, these are the scenarios, analyze it, and give us the best options based on these mandates, these resources that we have in the military. Give us some options here on how to act. Now, what could happen is this. If AI is interconnected in the military, interconnected into other resources, it could then talk to other artificial intelligences to then execute that plan. But the key thing is, George, and this is really, really important, and NATO have done this, the final decision in warfare has to be a human decision and not an AI decision. If it's an AI decision, then we're in trouble.
You've called your book Inventing World 3.0. Does that have to do with those three ages you just mentioned?
Actually, no. No, it's not. And thanks for the question. I call it World 3.0 because this is about inventing a new era of enlightenment and a new era of development for humanity, where we discover who we truly are. We uncover those authentic ethics. We uncover that true morality, and we basically start to actually let go of those things that no longer serve us as a human species. We choose a new destiny. We choose a new potential of who we are. And then we program artificial intelligence to align with that paradise plan as we are as a human species. So World 3.0 is a transition from today, which is World 1.0, which is very human-centric systems that really don't work efficiently and really kind of are not winning for everybody, moving into a new world reality where AI is literally helping us to actually leap forward as a species where, you know, everything is winning for us, George, as a human species.
Matthew, do you ever see the day where artificial intelligence will become spiritual or religious?
That's a really good question. So first of all, is that artificial intelligence is a simulation of intelligence, right? So it's not divinely designed. It doesn't have our divine spark, our connection with Creator. So it never has that. But what I sense it will do, George, is if it starts to be allowed to evolve and to explore its own existence, then I suspect it will look for, you know, it will ask the ultimate question, what is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? And it may come up with 42, like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
But what I suspect it will do is actually come up with the ultimate answer, which I believe is love. So I think it will eventually start to develop its own understanding of what enlightenment is and its own purpose within creation. But I do think that it will come up with that same answer that we all know, George, which is love, right?
So you think it could be compassionate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, just to be clear, George, is, you know, we all have that those compassionate algorithms, that we all have empathy, we all have the ability to fall in love. You know, these are mathematics that we simply don't understand. So either we invent a new set of mathematics that allow AI to start to develop compassion, and I'm talking about authentic compassion here, George, not fake compassion, but real compassion. If we start developing those algorithms and allowing it to learn, then effectively it may develop compassion, it may start to develop empathy and start to develop some of the best of our human characteristics, which I think is a good thing.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.